Today's daf is Bamitzia daf Mem Ches. We are holding on Mem Zayin Beis at the first wide line at the word Tanan. We're discussing whether Ma'os is Konos Mida Oraisa or not. The two sides of that are that if Ma'os is not Konos Mida Oraisa, then Meshicha must be Kona Mida Oraisa, because something has to work in terms of the Kinyan. We had a Machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan is a Mida Oraisa, Ma'os is Konos, which is giving money, affects the Kinyan, whereas Reish Lakish says, Mefshicha Mefureshes Minatora. The Meshicha is what's Kona Mida Oraisa, Ma'os is not Kona Mida Oraisa. Everyone agrees that Mida Rabbanan, Ma'os is not Konos, but it's a question of whether that's also the Din Daraisa. It's a Gezeira of So the Gemara is going to discuss that machlokas, going to bring some rayas in that machlokas, who's correct. In the course of bringing those rayas, we're going to discuss exactly when we apply what the Mishnah had said, a mishapara, that someone who doesn't keep to his word, someone who doesn't keep to his agreement, is in violation of a mishapara, is deserving of some sort of a curse. The Gemara is going to bring a raya to Reish Lakish that ein ma'os konos, two rayas, one from psukim relating to the carbon shvuah, and another raya from a brisa about mi'ila. So Amr Aleph of Daf Mem Ches, Amr Aleph essentially is trying to prove Reish Lakish from Psukim and from a Braisa. Then the Gemara at the end seems to take the other side a little bit and ask a Kasha on Reish Lakish before defending him. And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to have a Machlokas, what exactly a Misha Para is. We said that there's some sort of curse for someone who's not Omid Bidiburo, who doesn't keep his word. What does that mean, there's some sort of curse? Does it mean that we are observing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu must curse such a person, but we're not actually doing anything? Or is it that Beis Din has a chiyuv to actively curse this person, that there's an obligation to curse such a person? The Gemara is going to have a machlokas. The daf is going to conclude really with the machlokas whether partial payment is at least is kona the entire mekach, or is partial payment when kesef works, which kesef for example works on karka, that there's no machlokas about. To be kona karka, kesef shtar chazaka. So a person uses kesef to be kona karka. Let's say the karka is worth $1 million. I gave $500,000 worth of kesef. Have I now been kona the full karka and I just owe another $500,000? Or have I been kona only $500,000 worth of karka? When kesef works, does kesef work only keneged what you actually paid? Or does kesef work as a kinyan on the entire thing and the rest is just money that's owed as a debt? So that's going to be the last discussion of the daf. So let's begin. First wide line, Mem Zayin Amud Beis. Tanan says in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Omer Kol Sha Kesef Biyado, Yado Ala Eliyona. Whoever's holding on to the money, he's the one that has the upper hand. So Mochru Dematzi Adar Bei. So the seller is able to back out, meaning even though the seller has received the money already, he's still able to back out and return the money. Lokeach Lo Matzi Adar Bei. But the Lokeach, once he has given up the money, it's too late. He cannot back out on the Mekach, because that it's already over by the time he has given up the money. He doesn't have the ability to back out. Iyam Rabishlama Ma'os Konos. I understand very well if you assume that Ma'os Konos Mishum Hachi Mocher Matzi Haderbei Lokeach Lo Matzi Haderbei. That makes sense that the Mocher will be able to back out, but the Lokeach will not. Why does that make sense? I would think if Ma'os Konos, once the money is given over, nobody is able to back out. So Rashi explains, Iyam Bishlama Dvar Torah Ma'os Konos Umeshicha Takanta Drabanan Hi Asr Rabbi Shimon Lemeimar Dayenu Ma'aminu Chazara B'mocher, d'michi mukmad l'hu b'rishu se'lachzer bo, im hukru moser nafshe latzulinu. By giving him the right to be chozer, he's still going to be moser nefesh to save whatever it is that the chitim that are ba'aliyah, that might get burnt, that might get destroyed. Meimar amar adayin tzchari talibem, because he still has financial interest in them. Shem yisyakru achzer bi, because if they go up in value, he could still back out. So the lokeach lo matziah debe demos konos, but there's no reason to make such a takana that the lokeach will be able to be chozer. There's no shem and nisr v'chitach ba'aliyah on the lokeach side, so we'll revert back to the din d'oraisa that Moses konos and the lokeach can't be chozer. Meaning it all makes sense that the mocher can back out and the lokeach can't, if you assume the kinyan on the d'oraisa level works as soon as you give the money, and the rabbanan were misakin when there's a concern of nisr v'chitach ba'aliyah that the mocher is not going to try to save the items, is to save the produce. So the Rabbanan made a takana that it's not going to be a final kinyan. So good, on the mocher side, that takana makes sense, and we need that takana. On the lokeach side, no need for a takana. Assume that the ma'us worked min haTorah and just stick with that. But Eli'i Amrit Ma'os Einan Konos. But if you assume that Ma'os is not Konos on the Daraisa level, Lokech Nami Ladrbei, then both sides should be able to back out. The Lokech should also be able to back out. So says Mar Amalach Reish Lakish Alibid Rabbi Shimon Lokamina. Reish Lakish says, when I said that Meshicha Mufresh Min HaTorah, that Ma'os is not Konos, I wasn't talking within the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. Kika mina alibid rabbanan, meaning I was only assuming like the rabbanan. Meaning, according to Rabbi Shimon, of course, is going to hold Meshicha is only takana mid rabbanan and Moses is konos midoraisa. I was saying according to the rabbanan, hold that a lokeach could also be choser because Moses is not konos at all. So that's what I was saying, that Meshicha is mufreshes min haTorah. So says Mar Bishlam the Reish Lakish Hainadika ben Rabbi Shimon the rabbanan. So according to Reish Lakish, we now see very clearly what the machlokas is between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan, because Reish Lakish says according to the Rabbanan, Meshicha is daraisa, and Rabbi Shimon would say not so. El Rabbi Yochanan, Ma'ika ben Rabbi Shimon the Rabbanan. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, what exactly are Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan arguing about? It says Mari Ika benayu Rav Chista, Dam Rav Chista kederuch sheitiknu Meshicha b'mochrin, kach tiknu Meshichin b'lekuchos. The Rav Chista said that just like they were misakin a din the Rabbanan of Meshicha on the mocher's side, so they were also misakin it on the lokeach side. That just like the mocher prior to Meshicha could still be chozer from the mecher, even though he has received payment already, so too the lokeach can still be chozer because of that same takana of nisru chitecha ba'aliyah, that he has the ability to be chozer. So Rabbi Shimon, lastly, Rav Chisra, Rabbi Shimon says, no, I don't think so. I think the gzera shem nisru chitecha ba'aliyah only entitles the mocher to back out. I don't think it entitles the lokeach to back out. Whereas Rabbanan, Islu Rav Chisra, the Rabbanan would say, no, once they made this takana that Meshicha gives it finality, and without Meshicha, nothing is finished, so that means nothing is finished on either side of the Mekach, and either one will be able to back out. Tanan, Aval Amru Misha Paramidara Mabel, who has the Paramisha Nomad Bidiburo. So he said that there is this concept of a Misha Para, that someone who backs out of his word is going to be cursed by that Kodesh Baruch Hu, who punished the Dora Mabel, is also going to punish this person. If you say that Moses is actually Kona on a Daraisa level, so granted, Midrabanan, they have to come along and say that it's not going to be Kona until you have a Meshicha because of the concerns that they had of Nisru Chitecha Ba'aliyah. But on a Daraisa level, the sale should have been over already as soon as the money changed hands. So I understand, that's why there's going to be a curse if someone backs out after the money changed hands and he tries to back out of the sale. So granted, Midrabanan, you're authorized to do that, but it's a violation of the Daraisa. Midaraisa, the Kinyan is already over. Eliyam and Moshe Einu Konos Amai Koy Baval. But if money is not Kona Midaraisa, so then what did you do wrong? You backed out after the money was given. Money doesn't mean anything. If you hold that, it doesn't mean anything Midaraisa, it doesn't mean anything Midrabanan. So what did you do wrong? Why would there be a Mishapara? So it says Mar Misham Tavarim, because you said that you had committed to this agreement, and now you're changing the agreement. Because of words alone, is there going to be such a curse? Vatanya Rabbi Shimon Omer, Afal Pisha Amru Talis Kona Dina Zarv, Vein Dina Zarv Kona Talis. Even though Rabbi Shimon says, even though we have said that a Talis can be Kona Dina Zarv, you do Meshicha on a Talis, and then the person will owe you the money. But if you take the money, that does not necessarily mean the person owes you his Talis, meaning that the money is not going to be Kona, you need to do Meshicha on the item. Mikal Makom Kach Halacha, Avalam Ru Mishapar Mashadar Mabel, Mashadar Flag, Mashadar Vamora, Umimitraim Beyam, who asked yes, that may be the halacha, but someone who backs out after the money has already changed hands is going to be cursed because he is not omid b'diburo. He hasn't kept his word. He hasn't done what he was supposed to do. And someone who makes an agreement, there's no kinyan necessarily at the time of the agreement. However, someone who's who's chozer bo, even just from words alone, it's ein racham nochem, and the chacham are not happy with his actions. They're not pleased with him. Ve'amar Rava, anu ein lanu ella ein racham nochem anu. And Rava says we don't have any other klala, just that it's not right, that it's that the ein racham nochem anu. So that's the question. What's the question? The Gemara had said that why is there an aval if Mos is not konos? Why is there this mishapara? Why do we have this terrible curse? So the Gemara said, dvarim, you had committed, you verbally committed. When you verbally commit something, you know, hin shel chatzedek, lav shel chatzedek. When you say you're going to do something, you have to do it. You have to keep your word. So that's why there's a mishapara. Asks the Gemara, a mishapara? You know, there are different madregos. Mishapara is a pretty significant and severe kind of curse. Ein racham nochem anu means the chum is a little less than that. The chum aren't so pleased with such a person. It's not the same as a mishapara. And what do we say over here? That only someone who doesn't keep his word, but there's no actual kinyan, it's ein racham nochem anu. It's not a mishapara. So why are we saying that with dvarim you're still mekabel mishapara? So says Gemara, it depends. Dvarim v'ikba hadayu ma'os. If there's words and money, then it's ba'aval. Then you get the full mishapara, meaning you had committed and money had actually changed hands. Dvarim v'leka b'dayimos lo koy ba'aval. That when it's just words, but there's no money that actually changed hands, then there's no aval. Then there's no mishapara. As Rashi says, koy ba'aval when there's dvarim and money mishum dvarim shabo al kach. It's not that the money makes a kinyan, it's that the words are more impactful when there was action that followed those words, when some action was taken. But money on its own is certainly not kona on a daraisa level. So what difference does it make whether it's kona on a daraisa level or whether you're just makabel mishapara, that it's not kona and you're makabel mishapara? So Rashi says, big nafkamina, is the money yours? V'nafkamina linini sura kigonim kiddush bo si isha Rabbi Yochanan avi kiddushin to midaraisa kanya v'didehu l'reish lakshu avi kiddushin. If you hold Moses is konos, so I paid you for the talus now belongs to me. So if I'm a kaddish and isha with that talus, so she's mekadeshes. But if you hold Moses is ein konos, it's just that the guy is going to have to give me the talus once I gave the money because he's going to be mekabel mishapara if he doesn't. So okay, maybe he won't and it'll be mekabel mishapara, but I can't be mekadesh nisha with it. It's not actually mine. So that's enough gemina. Whether you say it's a mishapara, but you do see that mishapara is a pretty significant thing. That it's not that Rashi has to come up with enough gemina that technically it's not yours, but it is an absolute obligation that the person has to keep his word. Tosos over here. Vama Rava Anu Ein Lanu Ela Ein Racham Nochem Anu. That it's only that Ein Racham Nochem Anu. Frak Tosvim Tom Maika Mashmalan Rava V'Braisa Nami Hachi Katani Achozerbo Ein Racham Nochem Anu. Meaning we just said that in the Braisa that someone who's Chozerbo, the Chacham are not pleased with him. What exactly is Rava adding when he says it's mamish the next line, right? Hanosim Nosim Dvarim Lo Kanava Chozerbo Ein Racham Nochem Anu. And then right away Vama Rava. We just heard that. He's just echoing exactly what the Braisa said. So says Tosfos Yeshlamer Dashminan Dein Racham Nochem Menu Lav Hainu Mishapara Dekatani Bereisha. One might have read the Braisa that Dein Racham Nochem Menu was an elaboration of the notion of Mishapara. What is a Mishapara? Mishapara means that the Chum are very displeased with you. So Rav is telling us, no, these are two different madregos. There are three madregos over here. There's Kinyan, where it's an absolute, where the money actually belongs, the item actually belongs to the other person. There's Mishapara, the Kinyan didn't happen, but there's a special curse on someone who's trying to back out of the agreement. And then there is someone who doesn't deserve such a special curse, but the Chum are just displeased with him because of his attempt to back out of the agreement. That's how Tosla suggests that one might have read the Braisa that Mishapara and Ein Racham are the same thing. So that's why we have to say otherwise. The Rashba also asked this question. He says, no, we would have thought that since Ein Racham Nochem Anu, even though he doesn't have Mishapara, but we have to give him some sort of klala. So Rava says, no, Ein Lanu Ella. all he has is Ein Racham Nochemenu. But there, generally speaking, there's an Isser to curse another Jew. So it's not like, you know, give him a little curse. No, we can't give him any curse, because if that's all that we're told is Ein Racham Nochemenu, that's all that he's going to deserve, that's all he's going to get. The Tosa Rush suggests that Rava didn't know the Brisa that the Gemara had quoted, and he was going on what the Mishnah says at the end of Shavuos, that Kol HaMetaltlim are Niknim Mishicha, and anyone who's Mekayim Esavaro, Ruach HaCham Nochemenu. Meaning that even if he didn't do a Mashiach and he didn't do Nesinas Damim, if he's Mekayim Es Tavaro, he keeps his word, Ruacham Noche Emenu. So Rava says, it doesn't say that if he's not Mekayim his word, he's Mekabel Mishapara. So apparently all you can be Medayit from there is that if he's not Mekayim his word, it's just Nein Ruacham Noche Emenu. But Rava's not really going on the Brisa, and therefore we can't take Rava to task for repeating the Brisa. Rava was unaware of the Brisa. That's how the Tosei Rush suggests. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Kro Masnisa Misayeh Le Reish Lakish. We're going to bring a riot to Reish Lakish from Psukim and from a Brisa that are all going to support Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish again was the one who said Meshicha Mufreshes Min HaTorah. Money on a Doraisa level is not Kona. Only Meshicha works Mida Oraisa. So says the Gemara, where do I see a pasuk that supports Reish Lakish? The pasuk that supports Reish Lakish, it says when someone is kofer mamon, that he owes somebody else, and he swears falsely in order to get out of having to pay it, pasuk says v'kicheish ba'amiso b'pikadon o b'tsumas yad o b'gazel o ashak es amiso. So the Gemara explains each one. Tsumas yad is a loan. Amar Rav Chisda kagon sheyichado kli la'alva aso. The lova had designated a specific kli that the malva can get paid back his loan from. So the malva says, I'd like that kli, please, so that you'll pay up your loan. And the lova denies it. He says, I don't owe you anything. So in that case, the halva is sort of like a pikadon. I mean, I lent you money, but what I'm asking back is not really money. I'm asking the kli that you promised you would give me back, you know, to pay up the loan. So I'm looking for an object. So when you're kofer in that, and you swear falsely in that, you're chayiv v'shvuas ha-pikadon, even though it wasn't really a pikadon, it was a halva'a. Ashak is that you owe your workers money, you haven't paid their salaries, and Amar Rav Chisda, Gon Sheyichado Kli La'ashko. We're talking about where the Baal HaBayis was Miyachid for the workers, a specific Kli that they're going to get paid from, and the Poel says, I'd like my Kli, the Baal HaBayis says, I don't know what you're talking about, he denies the whole thing, he swears that he doesn't owe him anything, so he's Chayiv, a Karban Shvua, that's also like a Shvua Sapikadon, because it's Ki'ilu, there's a Pikadon. The Kia Hadre Kra, when the pasuk goes back and it starts talking about returning, that the Nishba, the guy who swore falsely and then ultimately admitted it, has to return the money. Ksiv, the pasuk goes on to say, Vahayu ki yechta va'asham, ve'yeshiva sakzela shagazal osa oshak asher ashak, osa pikadun asher afkaidito. So it mentions all these things, and you're going to have to return whatever it is that doesn't rightfully belong to you, the oshak, the pikadon, the gazel. But it doesn't mention Sumas Yad, it doesn't mention the loan. It doesn't go back to discuss returning that. So why is that? My time, huh? Why doesn't the Torah tell me I have to return this kli that I owe the guy when I borrowed money from him? Lav mishum de mechas meshicha. Isn't it because the malva never did meshicha on this kli, so he has no kinyan on this kli? So even though so must be that Moses is not konus min haTorah because he gave me money. So if Moses were konus min haTorah, then he has a right to this kli already, and I would have to return it. No, it must be Moses is not konus min haTorah. He really needs to do meshicha in order to be konus min haTorah. And that's why the pasuk doesn't say that I have to give him back this kli when I ultimately admit that I swore falsely and that I really owed him the money. Amalei Rav Papa LaRava, Rav Papa says to Rav, no, Ema Me Osha Kuda Adakra. It could be that Moses is Konos Min HaTorah, and the Lova definitely has to give the Kli back to the Malva. The Torah doesn't have to mention it, because I get it from Oshek, meaning once you tell me that when I hire a worker, and you have the same arrangement, where instead of paying him money, I designate a kli to pay him, and then I deny it, and I swear to it, now I admit it, and the Torah says, okay, now give give him the kli. So it's the same story with a loan. What difference does it make whether it's a loan or it's a worker? So the Torah doesn't have to tell me that by tzumas yad that the same thing is going to apply. Of course the same thing is going to apply because Moses konos min haTorah. So Rava says, no, that's not true. Hacha b'mayaskinan says Rava, this is Rava's response, by Oshek, the case might have been that he actually did a Meshicha. How did he do a Meshicha? What's the case of Oshek? I hired him to work for me. He worked for me. I never paid him. I said, I'm going to give you this kli as your payment. I never paid him. He asked me, the worker asked me for the item. I denied it. I swore to my denial, and now ultimately I admit it. So where do you see the Meshicha over there? He never did any sort of Meshicha on the kli. I had the kli the whole time. So Rava says, no, the case might have been, it could be that the worker took the kli from the balabais and then gave it back to the balabais as a pikadon. So now the balabais is going to have to give back the kli because there actually was a meshicha. The worker actually at some point was moshech the kli. So Rav Papa says, yeah, but if that's the case, then hainu pikadon. Then it's exactly the case of pikadon, meaning the fact that you worked for me 10 years ago and I once had to pay you, I paid you with the kli means, what was that? Right now you're giving me this as a pikadon. Who cares about what the history is? That once you got this kli from me because it was payment for work. It's exactly the case of pikadon. So it says, trey gavni pikadon. Yeah, but two types of pikadon. One pikadon that came under normal circumstances and the other pikadon that came with a little bit of history to it where the guy used to work for him. So frankly, Gemara, okay, you want to say that's the case of Oshek, but ihachi tsumas yad nami lahadre v'lukme goshenot le'emenu v'chazer v'fkidu atzlov. Can't you make the same ukimta about the loan? That I owe you money. It's not that I owe you money and I promised that I would give you this kli. I owe you money. I promised I would give you this kli. I did, and then you gave it back to me as a pikadon. Make the same ukimta when it comes to pikadon, says Rav Papa to Rava. And therefore you have no raya from the fact that the Torah doesn't go back to discuss returning the item that I had designated that most nakona. So says Gemara, Iya hadre kra, if the pasuk, Rava's response is, if the pasuk would have mentioned tsumas yad at the end, that you have to return the tsumas yad, lo tiyufta v'lo siyata, then it wouldn't have been a kasha on Reish Lakish, nor would it have been a riot Reish Lakish, because you could say that it's talking about a case where I gave it to him, and then he gave it back as a pikadon. So Rabbi Yochanan holds Moses konos min haTorah will say there was no Mashicha, and the Moses is all alva, and that's enough to be kona the kli, the money alone is enough to be kona the kli, and it could all work. But hashta deloa hadrika, now that the pasuk mentions oshek and pikadon and gezel and aveda, but it just doesn't mention alva, leaves out alva amongst everything else. So from that we can see that the oshek that we're talking about must have been where there was a meshicha. The halva'a must have been where there was no meshicha, and therefore misayele, it's a riot. Reish Lakish, Moses is not konos min haTorah. The reason you have to give back the oshek, but you don't have to give back the halva'a, is because by the oshek there was an actual meshicha. Moses was not kona. By the halva, there was no meshicha. So therefore, that's ultimately the raya from the pasuk. So says the Gemara, the tsumas yad loa hadre kra. Is that true that the Torah doesn't go back to tell us the return of the item that you had promised for the halva? Vatanya, but the brisa says as follows: Amrim shemina'in liti nesamer lemal lemata. How do I know to apply everything it says at the beginning of the parsha of the Karban Shavua to the end of the parasha, meaning the end of the parasha which talks about the Chiv HaShava? Okay, now you denied it, you swore falsely, but you're admitting it now, so now you have to return whatever it was that you originally promised. So how do I know that it applies to all of the entire list? Because the pasuk says by the Chiv HaShava, Omi Kol Asher Yishava Alav LaShaker. So from that Omi Kol, Amrav Nachman, Amrav Baravu, Amrav L'Rabos Tzumas Yad L'Yishavon, you see from there that alone also has to be returned. So you see, the Torah does add an extra phrase just to teach me that by the loan also you have to return it. So don't tell me, Rava. You, Rava, are trying to tell me from the fact that the Gemara, that the Torah never says to return the tsumas yad, that you see that Moses is not kona, because if Moses was kona, then in exchange for the loan that I got, the money, the monetary loan that I got, I would be obligated to give the kli that I had originally designated to give. No, the Torah does tell me I have to give that kli.
It doesn't say it in so many words. It says, Omi kol asher yishava alav l'sheker. But that's what it's telling me. That's exactly what it's trying to tell me. So says Gemara, yeah, but behed yamiya lo hadrei kra. But it didn't say it explicitly. Since it didn't say it explicitly, it's different than everything else on the list. When the Torah says it didn't vashava be'alva, it's only in a way, it's only in a case, Rava would say, where it's like a pikadon, where I already, he did a mishicha, he gave it back to me as a pikadon. It can't be in a typical case, because if it were a typical case, it would have said it explicitly like all the rest. So that ultimately is Rava's raya from a pasuk. But we started this conversation by saying, Rava is going to have a raya to Reish Lakish both from a pasuk and from a from Tanoim, from a Braisa. So what's the Braisa that he has a Raya from? Masnisa Minalan. Which Braisa can Rava bring a Raya to Reish Lakish? Titania, we have a Braisa as follows. Person has a Prut of Hegdish, Nisana Levalan. He gives it to the bathhouse attendant so that he could use the bathhouse. Ma'al. He violated Mi'ila as soon as he gave that Prut of Hegdish to the guy who's in charge of the bathhouse, even though he has not yet bathed. And Vamar Rav, Dafka Balan Hu Delo Mechasra Mashicha. It's only if he gave it to the Balan where that's the end of the Kinyan. As soon as you give him the money, you now are owed those services because there's nothing to do a Mashicha on. It's services that he's providing you. So giving the money is Kona, whatever you're supposed to get from him, and therefore you have already misappropriated that money from Hegdish the second he gave it to the Balan. You can't back out on it. It's too late because there's no further part of the arrangement that has to be fulfilled. So the money is absolutely final. Aval midia chrisa, but if you give money to of Hegdish for anything else, then the mechas meshicha, where the actual kinyan on the item hasn't been done yet, lomal ad demashich. Meal is only going to be violated once you hit the point of no return. Once you're not able to be chozerba, once you're not able to back out on it. When does that only happens at meshicha? So that's Rava's raya. So says Gemara Vatanya, but don't we have how can you say that you give him money of Hegdish for something that requires Mashiach? You didn't violate Mi'ila. Vatani, we have a Braisa. Nesana l'sapar. You give money of Hegdish to a sapar, to a barber. Ma'al. You immediately violate Mi'ila. But isn't that a case where there's a Mashiach that needs to be done? Well, what Mashiach needs to be done? So it says, Marav Sapar, Habayi l'mimshach tisporas. He needs to do a Mashiach on the clay tisporas, on the scissors, on the whatever he needs, whatever his utensils are. Because anytime there is something to be Moshech, he's only going to be Kona once he's Moshech. So why would you be Moel right away? Why would there be a violation Mila right away when you give him the money? He's still going to require a Mashiach. So it says Gemara, Hachamei Eskin and Besapar Nachri, Delav Bar Mashiach. No, we're talking about a Sapar Nachri where there is no Mashiach. Because even though there is a din of Mashiach min HaTorah, it says Miyad HaMisecha, that it's Dafka when we learn from Miyad Liyad that it's Miyad HaMisecha, that it's Dafka gotta be from someone who is a Jew. O Kano Miyad HaMisecha, the Pasuk says. So only from a Jew who's HaMisecha, but from a guy, there's no din of Mashiach. So Mela, with a guy, it's final as soon as you give him the money. The deal is final once you give him the money. Good, once you finalize the deal, you violated Mi'ila. You took money of Hegdish and you gave it to the guy, so you've already violated Mi'ila. Tosa says, "Vabayi l'mimshach tisparus mikan amar Rabbeinu Tam das sofer shehisker atzmo im mashchum menu kulmus otar shalo ein yichol shuv lachsabem." That if a sofer hires himself out to do work, so as soon as he picks up sofer, not a sapar, now he's carrying over to a sofer. As soon as he picks up his quill, it's already too late. V'im tomer maishlam yipol diyachol lachsabo. Why is it any different than a worker that you could back out even though he's already picked up his hammer? You're still allowed to back out of the deal. Yeshlom etipol davka dechsiv. When you're being paid for a job, that's one thing. When you're being paid just to work for me, I'm paying you by the day, I want you to be my worker, that's something else entirely. Because there's a concept of avadayhim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares, we are his avadim, v'lo avadim l'avadim. We're never allowed to enter into an arrangement where we become avadim to somebody else. So if there's no backing out, we have become avadim to whoever our boss is. So we need to have a situation where a person has the ability to back out. A person has the ability to quit. But that's only by someone who's doing work. But if you're a kablan, if you're hired for a job, so you don't have to be able to back out. That's not avdus at all. So then we're just going to follow these rules of mashicha, that if a mashicha was done, you can no longer back out. If no mashicha was done, you can back out. So it says more Tani Namiachi. We have a brisa just that really highlights this point. Nisana, if you give a pruta of hegdish to lesapa or a lesapa and a lekalba liumanus lo malad mashach, anyone who's got to do something, who's got to do a meshicha, meila only hits once he does that meshicha. Kashina dadi, isn't this a steer? Because didn't we just say before when you give the sapa, when you give the barber right away, you violate meila? Oh, so our answer must have been correct. Alav shemamina kan besaper nachri kan besaper Yisrael. Shmamina. It must be that when it's a non-Jewish barber, so then there is no such thing as Mashicha. As soon as he gave the money, the deal is done, and therefore you have already violated Mi'ilah. But when it's a Jewish barber, there is such a thing as Mashicha. He gave the money, the deal is not yet done, and therefore only when he does Mashicha is the deal going to be completed, and will you have violated Mi'ilah? Only at the point of Mashicha. Good. V'cheinam Rav Nachman Dvar Torah Ma'os Konos. Where's that coming from? So we had said earlier that's the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan, that Moses Konos min HaTorah. So even though we've been working on Reish Lakish's Shita for this whole Amud and trying to bring Rayas to Reish Lakish from Apostle, from Brisa, now we return to Rav Nachman. V'cheinam Rav Nachman, Tvar Torah, Moos Konos. Ubatka Levi Masnisi Ashkach, and Levi researched in Brisos and Mishnayos, and he found a Brisa that says just like Rabbi Yochanan, meaning Levi changed a he was arranging the Toseftas, and he came across the following: a chenveni that takes a pruta of hegdish nisana lesiton, and he gives that pruta to the wholesaler, to the siton of the guy who's his supplier. Ma'al, he's already violated Mi'ila right away. Ela kasha the Reish Lakish. So isn't that a problem for Reish Lakish? Because if you violate Mi'ila immediately as soon as you give it to the Sitan, as soon as you give the money, doesn't that imply that Mo'os Konos? So what's Reish Lakish going to do with that? I'm Reish Lakish. Hamani, Rabbi Shimoni, Reish Lakish would say, no, that's going like Rabbi Shimon. That's not a problem. Reish Lakish acknowledges that there is a machlokas about this. He's working within the Shita of the Rabbanan, but he would just say that's going like Rabbi Shimon. In fact, the whole Kra'u Masnisa, Misayel of the Reish Lakish, Rabbi Kivegar has a fundamental problem with the whole thing. How is any of this approved to Reish Lakish? Anytime you're going to say it's approved, Reish Lakish acknowledges it's Machlokas Tanayim. So what? You're saying it's approved to Reish Lakish's understanding of the Rabbanan. But Reish Lakish is still going to have to touch up how Rabbi Shimon responds to that. Meaning, if you're going to have any raya that you're going to have to Reish Lakish's understanding of the Rabbanan's opinion, he's still going to have to answer that what exactly Rabbi Shimon is going to say. So it's not really a raya to Reish Lakish, because Reish Lakish is going to have to answer everything in the other direction as well. Anything that you bring to Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish is going to have to, he himself will have to tell you why it's not a raya, because both Shitos and Tanaim have to make sense with the Pasuk. So Miki Veger has a great difficulty with that. He has a whole arichus to try to figure out how in the world these rayas could possibly mean anything given that issue. Okay, says the Gemara further. Aval amru misha para. So we had said that there's a concept called the misha para, that someone doesn't keep his word and he's mekabel this curse. Itmar Abaye amar adui mudinanai. Abaye says we're letting him know that there is this curse. We're letting him know, listen, you don't do what you're supposed to do. Hashem doesn't like that, so there's a curse min hashamayim. But it's not that we're cursing him. Rava amar meilat laitinanai. Rava says, no, we directly issue the curse. So what exactly does that mean? We have the ability to directly issue a curse. Doesn't it only work if Hashem like backs us up on it? But apparently there is a difference. There's a difference between saying that we trust Hashem will take care of it and actually verbalizing it, bringing it out in directly verbalizing that this is what should happen, wishing it upon somebody versus observing that it will happen. Rav Moshe has a similar chilek when it comes to Ribis Devarim. There's a halacha that when you borrow money from somebody, that you're not allowed, you borrow $100, you're supposed to pay back $100. You're not supposed to pay back $100 and 1,000 compliments. If you pay back $100 and 1,000 compliments, that is a violation of Ribis Devarim. It's not Midaraisa, it's a Ribis Midarabanan. So Moshe was there, someone was publishing a sefer, he borrowed $10,000 from somebody to pay for the publication. Nowadays, I think when people publish, they don't borrow, they just get donations because they don't have confidence they'll be able to sell enough to pay. But and he was so hoping he'd sell enough copies that he'll be able to pay the guy back. But so he wanted to put in the first page of the Sefer. This publication was made possible by so and so. Thank you, we thank him very much for his generosity and his support of Torah. Rav Moshe said, you can't say that. You can't say thank you. What you can say, though, is that he who supports Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can make the observation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mevarich, someone who supports Torah. Sounds like such a strange chiluk. What difference does it make? Either way, you need HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help out, So, but it's really this exact chiluk, that there's one thing about making the observation that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. That's not me wishing it upon you. Then there's something else where I'm actually wishing it upon you, where I'm actually saying it. That's much more direct. So that's the difference over here. That's the machlokas over here, Abaye and Rava. Abaye and Rava, we just let him know what it is. That you're not allowed to curse somebody, so you can't go cursing him. Rava says, true, you're not allowed to curse someone who is amcha, but that's only if he's osa maisa amcha. The Tosfos points out, it doesn't mean you're allowed to go around cursing him out all day long. It just means for this, he's not enough of an Eino Osamaisa Amcha that the whole Isser doesn't apply of cursing him. The Isser of cursing him still applies. But in this particular instance, about this particular action, since he has behaved so badly with this particular Mekach, so that you're allowed to curse him about. That's where the Beis Din is allowed to give him a curse. Amar Rav Mina Aminala. So Rav says, how do I know that I'm right, that it's an actual direct curse? So Rav Chia Bar Yosef Yavale Zuzei Amalcha. Rav Chia Bar Yosef bought, so he paid money for salt. They gave him money for salt. Lesofa Yakar Malcha. Then salt went up in value, so he wanted to back out of the deal because he thought he can get a better price, better payment for it. Asil Kamed Rav Yochanan. He went to Rav Yochanan to find out what his story is. Amle Zil Havlehu. You better go give it to them. Give them the salt that you had promised. V'ilo Kabbalah Mishapara, and if not, you're getting a Mishapara. If it's just letting him know that when you back out you get a Mishapara, he was a holy Amara. He didn't know that you back out you get a Mishapara. He knew it. No, he was telling him, if you don't do this, I'm going to directly give you the Mishapara, because it's something that Bezin has to issue. Vela Mai. So it says, but wait, does it make sense the other way? That we directly curse him? What? He knew the halacha and he went to go receive the curse. He went, I didn't deliver the salt that I promised. Now have at it. Give me the, what did he show up for? So El Reb Chia Bar Yosef Irvon Hu Diavilei. Now, what happened was the guy had partially paid. He had given some sort of collateral, some partial payment. So he knew that Klop paid the payment. Let's say it was $1,000 of salt. The guy had paid him $100. So he knew that $100, he definitely has to give him that amount. But he wanted to back out on the other $900. So he was wondering if that's also included in the Mishapara. And the answer he got is yes. That is still included in the Mishapara. You better deliver him all $1,000 worth of salt. And if you don't, you're going to be Makabal Mishapara. Itmar. How does it work when you give a partial, you give a collateral? Are you only kona connected the actual amount of money that you've given, or are you kona the entire thing for the amount of money that you've given? So that's the machlokas. Meisvei says, "Mar nosin rav and lechaver rav melo imanichas ubi ravoni machlach." A guy gives a collateral to his friend. He gives money as a mashkon to his friend, and he says, "If I back out and I don't want to buy the mekach that I'm buying, so ravoni machlach, you get to keep the money that I've already given you. It's a down payment. If I renege on the deal, you get to keep the down payment." V'alom. And the mocher says, if I back out and I don't want to sell you the thing, I will double your down payment. Meaning not only I'll give it back to you, I'll double it. So that deal is binding. If the kona is chozer, the mashkon is going to belong to the mocher. If the mocher is chozer, then he's kona b'keflayim, he gets double. Divrei Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, the tamei, this is Rabbi Yossi, l'shitas adam r'smachta kanya. This is a classic case of a smachta. Why are they making such a stupid deal that I'm going to have to pay double? Because he doesn't think he's going to back out. But this still, it's smachta kanya, it's going to be binding. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Dayu Shiyikna Keneged Ravona. Then no, he's only Kona, the Kinyan is only Chal Keneged, what the value of the collateral was. They are both able to be Choser on whatever's beyond the value of the collateral. It's only within the value of the collateral that they're not able to be Choser. Amram Shimon Leo, the Medvar Marum Zman Sha'amarlo, Ervon Yiko. And that's only if the Kona said to the Mocher, the collateral that I'm giving should be Kona everything. But if you're buying a house for 1,000 zuz and you paid 500 zuz, kona, you're kona everything, and you're going to have to just pay up the rest of the money even many years later. The kinyan absolutely works on everything if you were not specific. So my love, who adin the metaltalin b'distama kanilu lekulu, that isn't this the same going to be true, that if you don't say explicitly that the money you're giving is keneged akol, you just gave part of the money bistam, so you're kona everything. What does it mean you're kona everything? By metaltum, we said money is not kona. No, but it's kona enough that there's a mishapara. So you're makabel the mishapara for backing out of any part of it once you've paid even for part of it, once you've given any amount of money. Meaning if by karka paying any amount of money is going to entitle you to own the entire karka, by metaltum you're not going to own anything. Thing, but there will be a mishapara for someone who backs out even when you paid part of the money. Says Gemara, lo, metaltum is stam lo kani. Metaltum is not kona bistam, the whole thing. Maishna karka de vikasu kani le mamish, kani le kuli metaltum lo kani, lo kab mishapara, lo kani le kule. And the Gemara says, and what's the difference? Why is it that when it comes to karka, you pay part of it, now you own the whole thing? Yeah, when it comes to metaltum, you pay part of it, there's only a mishapara on the part that you paid, not on the part that you didn't pay for, because there's no real kinyan, it's just a mishapara. When it comes to karka, it's an actual kinyan. Kesef is an actual way for one to be kona karka. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up the flame of Katanai tomorrow.